Okay, we're recording.
We have to be adults.
Hi, and welcome to another episode of Fishy Radio. I'm Alex, a newbie fisherman in the area of Southwest Florida, new to saltwater fishing. Tonight, we are missing our D, but we have in studio Heather, who is also a fabulous fisherwoman who loves catching all types of fish. And we have, as well, Jeannie here. Jeannie has her own boat, and she still has not taken us out fishing with her. But we still love her. How's everybody doing today?
Hey, how are you? Hey.
Well, we have a special show today. We're kind of going to talk about fishing, but we're going to talk about us.
Yay, that's exciting.
What do you guys want to know?
So, you know what we haven't heard about is why you fish. What got you into fishing? What made you want to fish? Was there...
The love of my father?
Yes, that's what I want to know. Was there a significant fish that made you, or a significant person?
Significant man.
So tell us, what's the story?
Well, he has always been in love with fishing. Fishing clubs, he collects lures, even, what are they called? Fish decoys. We have them all around the house. Fossils of fish. And I wanted to spend time with him, and he was always fishing, so... Before I can even remember, I started fishing with him, just like skiing. I was skiing before I could walk. I was probably fishing before I could walk.
So this was up north?
This was up north.
Okay.
I'm from Akron, Ohio.
Okay.
So this was up north around there in northeast Ohio. We would go out. I started with cane pole fishing. Mm-hmm. And we would fish local ponds and lakes, two of which were Virginia Kendall and Lake Indigo, and we would use night crawlers and maggots that we wouldn't get from our backyard because we were a little cleaner than that.
But maggots?
Maggots.
Really?
Yeah.
You fish
like
with
fly larva.
Nuh-uh.
Yeah, maggots are awesome. You get them at the store in little containers with sawdust.
So they're almost like mealworms or waxworms.
Yes.
They're just maggots.
Very tiny. Very tiny. So we would get night crawlers from the garden. Jeannie, it'll be okay.
Sure, yeah, I mean, I know.
You slip them on the hook and this, like, milky goo comes out of them. The fish love them.
It sounds great.
Actually, one of my favorite bass stories was I was out fishing on a canoe, and I think we only had maggots left. So I slid three maggots up on my worm, tossed along the shore bank under some brush, and wham, got hit by one of the largest largemouth bass that I've ever caught.
And fish dig maggots.
Okay,
so anyhow, you were with your daddy and you were fishing with maggots.
Side note, my dad's French and he loves eating cheese that has maggots in it. Side note.
That is not weird at all.
So, the attention of my father I was seeking.
Moving right along.
So, like I said, my dad's French and I was from the early age of 6 stuck on a plane by myself to fly over to France and spend the summers with my grandparents. My grandfather had some lakes and ponds on his property, and I continued to fish there in the summertime. We would go also cane fishing. I don't remember what kind of fish we were catching.
In Italy?
In France.
In France.
In France, yeah. This would be wow. in the central region of France. The town itself was called Buissonce.
Wow.
So I continued fishing with my grandfather, and he was also an avid fisherman, probably where my father got his love for fishing mm-hmm. from. Funny story, one time one of the ponds needed, I think it needed dredged or something needed done, so all the water was emptied out of it, and all of the fish needed to be emptied out by hand. So me and my little brother got to help try to catch and pick up these slippery fish to get them into containers to move them. That was a really fun experience.
That's neat. I love, I mean, not everybody
fun.
Can say that,
yeah.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I love nature. I'm so fascinated by nature, and it's nice to be able to...
So this goes way back. Like, your daddy was an avid fisherman, mm-hmm. your grandparents were fishermen. Okay, so you were... over in France, and you're fishing over there. You went over there every summer?
Every summer.
Okay.
Yeah. And would spend time with my grandparents over there, and then okay. get shipped back here.
And then you'd fish with your daddy again.
Mm-hmm. Fish with
so
my dad.
So you got a broad range of experience, or you covered some ground, obviously. And
not enough ground to where I ever fished Lake Erie. But
okay.
I did get some good fishing in. My mom and my brother, we would go up to Lake Chautauqua, which is located in New York. What's one of the Finger Lakes, I believe.
Okay.
Or near the Finger Lakes, where we would fish for more bass, perch, walleye, bluegill. I think maybe a muskie was caught. I'm not sure.
I think I've heard of that.
But up at my Uncle Bill's at the cabin, we would fish, and then... at that time, I was probably 16, transitioned into fishing with boyfriends. What's strange is I stopped fishing in 2000 when I broke up with that boyfriend. And the last fish that I fished for was catfishing, which is ironic because now down here...
Mm-hmm. It's taboo.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You catch a catfish and your day is over.
Right.
So, yeah, I stopped fishing then.
So, you were still up north at that time?
I was still up north in 2000.
So, why did you just quit fishing? Like, you didn't have the desire, or
I think
didn't want to do it by yourself?
I don't think the desire was there as much, but I also didn't have anyone to go fishing with, and I didn't feel safe as a single
friend.
Woman.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I love the camaraderie of fishing.
Sure.
And also, it's super hard to take a fish selfie. And what's the point of catching?
Fish, yes.
What's the point of catching a personal best if you can't get that picture?
By the way, GoPros are voice activated.
Yeah,
they have voice command.
I'm gonna start looking into ways of
being able to take a fish
alone
selfie.
Again. Yeah. So yeah, I miss the.
So you
miss the camaraderie of it. I'm a super independent person, and I like being alone. But there's something about fishing with someone else that
absolutely
makes it even better.
That is very true. I do enjoy fishing with people.
Yeah,
as long as they know how to fish.
But you fish out on the boat all the time by yourself.
I do. I love to fish by myself too.
How do you get pictures of yourself?
GoPro.
Oh, really?
Really? I'm serious. That is a thing. It's voice command. So I have the foot that sits on my console.
Okay.
And so I can put my GoPro in there, and then I'm on the bow of my boat with my fish, and all I say is,
oh,
GoPro, capture.
Oh,
and it
sweet.
Says.
That's
great.
Cool.
It is. So, yeah, that is really, truly a thing.
Very
yeah.
nice.
So then
yeah,
you
definitely look into that.
Yes, yeah. And from what it sounds like, I might be taking your pictures here soon on my boat. I picked up on that.
You're
I heard
better.
The intro. I was paying attention. So you've been
fishing. So you have a boat.
This is about you. My boat's actually broke right now. I'm hoping it'll be fixed tomorrow, but she's ill and going to the doctor tomorrow. But so you
I hear she's coughing up some phlegm.
Discolored. And it's terrible to look at her too because she's got them sad little nav lights that just stare back at you because she's just not feeling well. But yeah, she'll be fixed tomorrow.
Good. It's good to hear.
So this point you're 16 and you're 16?
19
when you quit. So then what got you back into fishing after you quit?
It's actually kind of interesting. So my mom winters down here in Punta Gorda, Florida, and I would come and spend a week down here with her. And, first of all, I wouldn't really spend that much time with her. You could find me at Ponce de Leon Park.
Okay.
At the pier.
Uh-huh.
Standing there like a sad puppy.
Uh-huh.
Wanting to fish, but not feeling... really, I had no idea. I had never fished salt water. It was intriguing, and I wanted to, but had never fished salt water. My uncle also lives down here. That's how my mom ended up down here. And one day, my mom, I, and my aunt were walking around his little neighborhood, and there was a guy... Actually, I went to look. He lives on Alligator Creek.
Mm-hmm.
And I went and I was looking at the water, trying to see if there were any fish and try to get tempted to put a pole in. And there was a guy riding around on the cart also around the edge looking in the water. Mm-hmm. And my aunt stopped him and we got to talking. And he said he was looking for so-and-so because they were going out offshore fishing and needed someone to help pay for gas money. And I was like, oh, me. And he was like, how do I tell this girl? No, I don't want some,
right.
I don't want to have to babysit this girl and bait her hook. And
sure.
We just want to go out there and have fun. So I could totally tell he was hesitant and not mm-hmm. super happy about it. And but we got together at 5 a.m. in the morning and we headed out. Got on the water, I think, by 7. Met his friend Pepe, so it was Drowning Pepe. We headed out to what I now know as Pegasus and started dropping squid and were hitting the yellowtail snapper one right after another. At least I was.
So is this your first...
first...
Atta girl.
Yeah.
This is your first offshore experience in Florida.
Yes.
In salt water.
Yes.
Period. Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
I don't know. Is the Gulf considered deep sea?
No.
It's not.
I mean, it can
deep
be
Gulf.
Like 800 miles out. But, I mean... I don't really know what the true definition... Heather, do you know what the true definition of deep sea actually is?
I don't.
I don't, yeah. I don't really know either. You get far enough out there, you get in, pretty good water. But, I mean, on the other coast, obviously you're a mile
sea,
offshore
yeah.
and you're 300 foot. To me, that's deep
yeah.
deep sea. A couple more miles, you're 800 foot. Over here, we don't have that, We go out 10 miles and we're still in 60 foot of
mm-hmm.
water, so...
Yeah. So started dropping. I'm pulling up snapper after snapper. They're getting one to maybe my 7 or 8. So I limited us out on snapper very quickly.
Did you get another invite?
No, never. I only
invite because they didn't think that you could fish, and then you didn't. You ultimately didn't get the invite because you fished too well.
Yeah, I actually only just. Talked to Pepe a few days ago, and I was like, oh, hey, I work at Fish and Frank's. He's like, oh, I'll come see you. So we'll see each other again soon, and hopefully he'll invite me back out, because they were awesome to fish with. We, as Trump would say, we did a lot of locker room talk. But after we got all our snapper, we headed to the boxcars.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And maybe we hadn't limited it out at that point, or at all. I don't remember. But we started pulling up fish there, and a shark came up
mm-hmm.
and grabbed one. And earlier in the day, I told them I want a big fish. So they set up a shark rod and reel and got me all belted up and immediately got a shark on and man, that was so awesome. Fought it for it not super long. I have no idea how long it was, maybe 15 minutes. Ended up getting it to the boat 3 times. It turned out to be a 7-8 foot sandbar shark.
Wow.
Nice.
It was beautiful.
That's Heather's territory there. She loves the sharks.
Yes.
I was so high off of the adrenaline from catching that fish, reeling it in, that when the guys brought it to the boat to get
gaff.
No, they never gaffed it. They just grabbed the line and brought it to the boat.
Yep.
And then I don't know how they were going to remove the hook or how do you do it if you just cut it. But I was like, oh, I want to pet it. So they actually held it for me so I could
feel
pet it and feel how sandpapery it was.
Yeah.
And it was awesome. The shark ended up breaking the hook in half when I pet him because I was so frightening to him.
So was that any sort of turning point for you? Like, you went from not fishing to now this is your first. So was that your turning point of,
oh, that was a great little dose of fishing
crack.
Like,
my not fishing is done. This is,
yeah,
you're back into it now.
So after catching that shark, first of all, long story short, my health wasn't, like, so great, and physically I wasn't in very good shape, and that might not have even mattered, but my arms and my legs trembled for an hour. And in that hour, my eyes were as wide open as they could be.
Yeah.
My jaw was on the floor of the boat.
Yeah.
And my head was shaking back and forth slowly in disbelief of what had just happened, and I couldn't speak.
Listen, most people know buck fever, you know, when you see that big buck in the woods. Fish fever is a thing. It truly is a thing. We get fish fever too. That it really is.
Mm-hmm. You think I had caught some fish fever?
Made
me mute.
That, yes, absolutely.
They became very worried. I don't think they'd ever seen a case of fish fever that bad.
That happens.
I eventually did regain my speech. the limbs were still trembling, but we headed back to shore. I think we did some trolling and didn't hook up, but it was an awesome day, and went back home to Akron a few days after that, and I literally felt the high of that fish for a year.
That was it.
And so now,
so is that
I come back down next year.
Okay.
I come back down the next year to stay with my mom, and of course I drive down to Ponce, and I'm hanging out, and I meet this really nice guy, Jamie, who hangs out on the pier. We were talking for a while, and it was just me and Jamie on the pier, and then this gentleman named Dennis behind us who was fishing. Jamie learned that I actually had a rod in my car and just didn't have any bait. So he asked Dennis if he had any bait for me to use, and he did, and I fished that evening, and Dennis fished, and neither of us got anything. I ended up heading back to my car to go home, and Jamie comes flailing his arms, running out to the parking lot. Dennis is hooked up. Dennis is hooked up. He wants you to bring it in. So I run from my car, and I go, and I start to reel in this big stingray, which was awesome. I love stingray. I love eating stingray. Never got it to the shore, though. It did break the line, but Jamie is now my best friend. He has been, you know, instrumental to me being down here, and meeting everybody that I know, making the fishing friends that I have. And Dennis is a mentor to me. His words carry the same amount of weight as Fish and Frank's words to me.
Mm-hmm.
I really appreciate everyone that I've met down here, and you know, going back to that camaraderie of being on the pier fishing, they're extremely supportive of me. They were supportive of me moving down here. They take good care of me down here because I don't have family. It's been great. And the photos that I would see of myself fishing, that smile that I had on my face, it was just, I didn't recognize that person. It was such a true and deep smile that I needed to be able to experience that more than just 1 week of the year. So my cat died, so I had no longer any dependents in Ohio and was able to move myself down here. About a week after living here, I went into Fish and Frank's and met Frank, and he offered me a job. And it was an honor to be asked, and now I work at Fish and Frank's. I love it. And
Frank's awesome. He's a legacy in these parts.
Yeah, yeah. I feel like I know the most famous man around. And he's my friend, and I'm lucky to call him my friend. And I, as well as Robert and everybody else that works at Fish and Frank's, I'm just I feel incredibly blessed. And and also the sun got me to move down here, because in Akron, Ohio, we don't get to see much of the sun in the wintertime. And I think I can stomach the hot weather more than I can stomach the gray skies of Northeast Ohio. So.
Okay. What kind of fishing do you want to do in the future?
Ooh, I would love to go offshore like Dee just did. I would love to go offshore in on the East Coast first. And I think the next thing I do is I'm going to go to the Keys for some mahi. But I would love to do offshore fishing on the East Coast, mm-hmm. deep sea fishing. Would love to try ice fishing, and kind of want to learn how to fly fish. I don't think I would love it as much as the fishing that I do here from the pier mm-hmm. or boat, but I would like to at least be able to learn it.
A little tip, go do your ice fishing trip as soon as you can before your blood thins out.
Oh, from living in Florida.
Yes.
Oh, good point.
Yes.
She nailed that one. True story.
Yep. Do you have any superstitions?
As far as
fishing habits.
Yeah, actually I do. I turn the bail to be in line with the rod, like where the line comes off of the bail and is on that little like roller kind of mm-hmm. of the bail. I like to keep that right in line with my rod, or I feel like I won't get any bites.
You know, I agree with that one. Mine's got to be on right in the right spot too.
Yeah. It's weird. I'll look down and see it's not there, and I'll go, that's what's wrong.
Mm-hmm. Do you have a favorite bait?
Yeah, you know, I used to do shrimp all the time, but, I just got sick and tired of my bait bucket sinking up the car and sinking up the house, because I'd bring it in so my bait could last longer, so now I just use frozen bait, and right now it would definitely be ladyfish that I'm using. Eventually, I'll get over my fear of being in the water and start throwing a cast net. I have them, I've learned how to use them, mm-hmm. but I'm freaking terrified of little fishies biting my toes or being attacked by a shark or a stingray. So I even have special like crazy booties that I bought to get in there on the oysters, but I'm so mm-hmm. scared. But I would love to catch my own greenbacks and some little whiting and whitebait. And
so I know who's catching bait when you come on the boat.
Absolutely. I'm your girl. If I don't get us bait, you don't have to take me. But I do work at Fish and Frank's, so that's another reason I haven't thrown the cast net yet, is because I do
access.
Not need to.
Unlimited access.
From your up north fishing, what was your most memorable bass story?
That, you know, that would probably have to be the one that I caught on the maggots. Because
okay.
it was just so shocking to me, these teeny, teeny little white maggots. I got this tremendously big.
Do you know how big it was?
you know, the longer away from when you catch a fish it goes, the bigger the fish gets. So by now, I would say that fish was probably like 50 feet long.
Awesome.
At the time, it was probably 18 inches. But that's all the time that we have today for Fishy Radio. It's been fun. I hope you learned a lot about me and why I fish, how I fish. And please invite me out on your boats.
Anytime. You can throw a cast net. You're welcome anytime. You're in now.
But like I said, it's been a lot of fun. From me, Alex, Heather, and Jeannie.
And Dee, if she were here.
Dee, we miss you. Thanks for listening to another episode of Fishy Radio. Say goodbye, girls.
Bye, girls.
Tight lines.
Tight lines.